rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed, again redeemed, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow and free frogs sing. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption's story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're going to shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board. When the redeemed are gathering in, and we'll hear his invitation from ye blessed of the Lord. When the redeemed are gathering in,
watch like snow, and free from sin.
Oh, I will shout, I will sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in.
So watch like snow, and free from sin.
When I read the scriptures from Acts, I'm going to go with the semicolons and colons to show you that this is all one thought. It's very important that you understand that, that from verse 16 to verse 21, it's with the semicolons and colons, it is one thought. So what began on the day of Pentecost continues till today. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, semicolon. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit of all flesh, colon. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, semicolon. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out of those days of my spirit, semicolon. And they shall prophesy, colon. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, semicolon. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke, colon. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come, colon. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, period. So when you read this in its entirety, salvation will continue right up until that great and notable day of the Lord. And, of course, that's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that goes beyond the rapture of the church. And that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is included in this. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit did not stop at any time. It will continue. And there very well may be massive amounts of people led to the Lord in the tribulation period. The two prophets preaching and the 144,000 that are called and others, there may be significant conversions to the Lord when they see people see the prophetic word coming together and they see prophecy and things that are being done in the heavens, and all of that, the mark of the beast being revealed, the Antichrist being revealed, and the mark of the beast, there may be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, the vast majority are not going to turn to the Lord, but that doesn't negate that there may be, you know, very, very large amounts of people turning to the Lord during the tribulation period. So, hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Thursday night of prayer, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the days and weeks go very fast, and it won't be too long before we're with the Lord, before he comes from us, before there's that shout in the heavens and calling. I believe he's going to say, come up hither. He'll probably speak good King James. What do you think, Pastor Fred?
I thought he spoke Hebrew, and we'd all understand that.
Yeah, in Hebrew. He'll speak it. come up hither. Yeah. So, how have you been?
Good, thank you. Wonderful. He knows our frame. He knows that we're from dust, and he knows that we're not going to last for a long time, but he's going to be there forever. That's the beautiful part of it.
And when he comes for us, we will have a body just like his. That's what the scripture says. It will be eternal. It will be kept eternal by the Holy Spirit. There'll be no aging, no sickness, no disease, no anything like that. Because it will be the Holy Spirit that gives us life. Now, in the Bible, it says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. But when the Holy when we have our resurrected body, and it says it in scriptures. In fact, let me get that verse from 1 John. Oh, now come on, that's not good, Pastor Fred.
Not coming up.
No. This I'm in the right spot, but the verse isn't there. Now there's something wrong. It must be the Bible. It can't be me.
Oh.
Well, I'm looking for that verse that says, well, go ahead. You say what you're going to say, and I'll find that verse.
Okay.
That's embarrassing.
We go from dust into a glorified body. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. We go from someone who is like the grass of the field, and our days are as grass, as the flower of the field that flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But those who call upon the name of the Lord, as was read, they're going to be delivered. They're going to be those who are living forever, who have that eternal life that God promises. It's a beautiful plan that God has for us. He let us have our own minds and our own hearts, and we turned away from him. And then he, like a father, pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows our frame, and he remembers our reading from Psalm 103. And he knows exactly who we are, and yet he's willing to make us into his own, his son's own glorious body. It is amazing, his love, his mercy extended to us. And then the way he has it all planned out. And so few people know that, and that's the sad part of the world that rejects the Lord. Now, when you were reading that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and the folk are going to be doing those various things, we assume to a certain extent that those people who are going to be filled with his spirit are those who have accepted the Lord and are those who would have repented. But if you look at this here prophecy and then the very last verse that you read, the fact that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, you realize that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh, and there will be those remarkable instances in people's lives where you will see all these things, visions, dreams, you will see prophecy, in other words, the revelation of the truth of Jesus being spoken out. But it's only those who call upon his name, because they, at the end of that, they said, well, what are we going to do? And he, you know what he said? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. So there is this this picture where God makes available his salvation to all, pours out his Holy Spirit on all, but only those who call upon his name, only those who repent and turn to him, are those who are the saved. Now, most of us would believe that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon folk who are already believers, which is probably the truth. What do you think there, John?
Rephrase that question again. Rephrase it.
Well, the question is, the Holy Spirit is to be poured out on all flesh. Yes or no?
Yeah, well, yes. Yes, go ahead. Yes, well, that's what the Bible says.
Yes, and then there's going to be folk who have dreams and visions and prophesy. And they're obviously prophesying about Jesus, because Jesus is the... the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But then that whole passage that you read ends with, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be delivered. Why does it say it there and not at the beginning?
Well, I think it's a summation.
Because those folk then said, when they heard his sermon, they said, now what do we got to do? Is that right?
Yes.
And what did he say?
He said, repent and be baptized.
And then they would get the
gift
of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, yes.
So you have these folk praying, 120 in the room, and whatever it is. The Holy Spirit falls on them. He preaches this sermon. And we're assuming that they are all believers. Is that true?
You mean in the upper room there?
In the, Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So it's believers that receive the promise of the Holy Spirit at that point where the Holy Spirit falls upon them.
Yes. Yes.
And then you have this preaching and this prophecy that says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to salvation. He gives everybody, and people cannot say, I've never heard, I don't understand, I don't know about God, I never... He's made himself, manifested himself and made himself available to all flesh. And then all that flesh has seen and heard over a lifetime, perhaps, of the prophecy of Jesus. They've heard, they've seen things, they've seen, perhaps seen one miracle in their lifetime, some people, or seen one healing, or seen many, but then those who call upon him will be delivered. Not all that hear necessarily, or that don't accept, but have understood, because God says, look, I'm not willing that any should perish. I would love all to come into my kingdom. I'm not trying to start a new doctrine here. I'm merely asking these questions so that I can prompt your mind to deliver to us another wonderful explanation of the process of the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, because he does pour out upon flesh that is not accepted him. There are those who go and are convicted. And there he pours out on, and then they come to a knowledge of him, and they repent, and they turn to him. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Yeah, Pastor Fred.
So there is this thought where he says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, that, like Romans says, we're without excuse. Isn't that so?
Well, absolutely. And, Pastor Fred, what irks me in this, and it goes along with the healing of the brokenhearted. In fact, I might as well do a little preaching now. You kind of drew it out of me. It's well known that we have, I've spoken many times about the church has dropped the ball about healing the brokenhearted. Now, I just was in contact with Pastor Jamil today. And he's going to try and make it tonight. Let me check the chat, the conference room, to see if he's here. He might be here in the second hour. And in talking to him, and both pastors, well, all the pastors I'm talking to, but especially Pastor Jamil today, that Australian pastor that he met for the first time, and he was speaking with him at events in Pakistan.
Well, I saw the picture. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Pastor Paul from Australia. Yeah. He is absolutely blown away by the healing the brokenhearted message. Blown away.
The sad thing, John, is that it's not an option. The power of God through the ministry of Jesus is not an option.
I know.
In the Christian
I know,
faith.
Pastor Fred. I know. And here's a man, like, on the mission field. In fact, his wife was sick. I think he had to leave a little earlier. She was in India, and he was in Pakistan, and he met her at the border. She came to the border, and he crossed over. Jamil went with him, and he crossed over from Pakistan. The border is partially open between Pakistan and India. I didn't know that. And there are certain occasions, and this was one of them. But he had never heard the message about, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He was absolutely thrilled with it. He's going to be contacting me. In fact, Jamil prayed with him for the healing of his broken heart. He had a daughter die 5 years ago, and him and his wife had broken hearts over it, severe broken hearts. So Jamil,
the reason why a lot of family marriages break up when they have those kinds of traumas, also. And yes. That's why it's so important that we deal with people in their broken heart with the ministry of Jesus.
So he wants to work with us in Abba Father's International Fellowship. He's fully on board with the Healing the Brokenhearted message. Apparently, Jamil preached it in his presence there, and he saw tremendous results. And then he saw the witness in himself. And I said that to say this, why is this message so contained? You know, especially in America now, it's spreading like wildfire all over Africa in particular. I mean, Pastor Zephaniah, all the time I'm getting feedback from him about, he's talking to the pastors at the church, at the college he's going to. They're all joining. We're setting up crusades now in Rwanda and Congo. And when he comes back next week, we're going to work out dates because I'll be speaking and he'll be going there. They can't print brochures fast enough. I mean, he printed 120,000 and we're going to need another 120,000 very shortly, probably the end of October, the way things are going. Pastor Jamil, the same thing. And of course, it's not like that here in America. But Pastor Fred, why? There's no answer for this. And I know people may be tired of hearing me say this, but I can't understand why every ministry isn't doing what we're doing. I don't understand it. This is the ministry. Now, of course, it's been ripped out of the modern translations. So there's all sorts of pastors and teachers and believers that it's not in their translation. So they're not preaching it. They're not teaching it. But this hasn't been taught, I don't know, for how long. And that's why so many believers are taking drugs. They're on Valium and they're on Prozac and they're going to psychiatrists because their hearts aren't healed. Now, I told you all that to say this. It's the same with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. The two major things that the church needs to function here on earth, in my opinion, is the healing of the brokenhearted. Yes, we can be saved. And I'm a perfect example of it. If your heart's not healed, you're like a bird with a broken wing. Now, you can fly a little and you flop to the ground, and you're always trying to fly and you're coming down. And there is untold numbers of believers that are wounded like a bird with a broken wing, and they're flopping around, and the thing is they need their heart healed. So,
you sound like you're doing rap. Bird with a broken wing was going to fall down. And I really like it.
Okay, all right, okay. And now we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And people think that it ended at Pentecost. There's doctrines that say that. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit ended at Pentecost. It was a one-time event, or it ended with the apostles. And in that scripture, and I was always confused about it because I would... Until I saw the grammar of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit there in Acts, that solidified me when I saw it. Okay, this is from the book of Acts right till the second coming of Jesus Christ. But we've been praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God has been sending it. We've seen like what's going on in Africa. I mean, when you see hundreds and then to the thousands of Muslims coming to the Lord, imams coming to the Lord, imams and their families coming to the Lord, Hindus coming to the Lord in huge numbers, that's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But the church as a whole, we're not praying for it, Pastor Fred. As a whole, we do. But I'll go to churches, and especially in the past, and you never hear of it. You never hear them crying, Lord, send an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need an outpouring. So the two essential things that we as believers need right now and all the time was to have our hearts healed. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted because we can't function properly for the Lord until our heart is healed. And the other is to move in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so it's like the very center has been cut out, Pastor Fred.
But as I said, I don't think denying the power is an option in the spiritual in Christianity.
No,
I don't think it's real Christianity without. Because with salvation, preaching the gospel to the poor, and healing the broken hearts, there's other things that occur with those things that become very obvious. To preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. All those things come along with these, with the preaching of the gospel and the healing of the broken heart. Because when those things occur, then all the other things occur, and that's the power of God for
yes.
salvation and for
yeah. So why don't we pray for that tonight? That we'll put those two together, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the healing of the brokenhearted. It's like a package, and that's what we need. That's the key to victorious Christian living, and then in the power of the Holy, going forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we have those two things, when we have our hearts healed, and then that outpouring of the Holy Spirit functioning in us, and this is open to everyone. I mean, we're powerhouses for the Lord, Pastor Fred. We're powerhouses.
Amen. And look what happens when you got no power. Look at poor old Puerto Rico.
Oh yeah,
they're really devastated.
We got to keep
no power. You're devastated.
We got to keep them in power, in prayer. And also, Pastor Fred, I just posted something on Facebook. I'm going to bring it over to the blog. I picked this up from the South Korea news service, and they said Saddam Hussein, not Saddam Hussein, he's dead, but Kim Jong-un is calling up all the reserves, and he has like 4 to 5 million in reserves. Now, it's really nothing more than a militia. I don't even know if they have enough guns for all of them, but he's calling up the reserves, and then the United States announced it's bringing a lot more military hardware into South Korea. So the South Korean news service said that they believe there's going to be war in October. The way Kim Jong-un is not going to back down, and Trump is not going to back down, and there's no reason for Trump to back down. I mean, if we let him. Give them more time. Well, let's go to negotiations. We'll negotiate for 9 months. Well, 9 months, he may have everything he needs to reach us with a nuclear weapon. I mean, we are out of time. There is no time anymore. So,
well, it would be foolishness for him to start a war without the final armaments for nuclear bombs, would it?
Well, here's the thing. This is very complicated, and here's the complication in it. There are real bona fide sanctions in place now. I mean, financially crushing sanctions. Apparently, we've identified their banks and how they are set up in China. I posted this just, I guess it was yesterday. But
throughout the world.
Yeah, there's not many. It's in like Kuwait, China. But anyways, and we also identified their key officers. There's like 6 or 7 banks and like 20 key officers. So we've sanctioned them, and their funds are going to be cut off, because any banks that deal with them, they're going to be frozen out of the international market, including China. I mean, Trump is really serious at this. And then there is a worldwide embargo of oil coming in place against him. So he has very limited time, Pastor Fred. The North Koreans do not have funds in reserve. The North Koreans, and when I say they don't have any, I mean, anything for any length of time. They do not have oil in reserve. You know, they may only have a month's worth of oil. I don't know, but I'm sure it isn't a year. And so, and they're being crunched now for money, for funds. So they may not have the time left. Trump may be cutting them off before they can finish the long-range nuclear weapon to reach the United States. So he may be forced to war ahead of time for it. That's very well what may happen. He's going to have a choice. Are we completely bankrupt with no oil and gas and food to fight? Or do we fight while we have funds, gas, oil, and food? So that may accelerate it, which of course would be to our benefit. So we must pray about this because there is a real possibility of we will be at war, maybe this time next month.
Okay. Anything else?
I do want to add to our prayer, if we think about it, about the police. I got great feedback about the brochure up yesterday and today. A woman called me to order my book, As America's Done to Israel, and we started to talk, and I don't know, one thing led to another, and she's very good friends with this. She's from Virginia, with the sheriff of her county. So I asked her if she would, and that he's a believer, and I asked her if she would give the brochures to him. She said yes. So I sent her like half a dozen brochures for the sheriff's office there, and Pastor Greg gave a great testimony about the sheriff's office in Oklahoma, and that the deputies are keeping the brochures, and they're circulating them around. They keep them in the squad cars. So I think it's something we should pray because that brochure can really have a huge impact on the police, Pastor Fred.
Sure.
We want to pray. We want to pray for Israel, and we also want to pray, and because we did pray, but it dropped off, to break the back of these pedophile rings.
Well, it hasn't dropped off. It's an ongoing thing that needs to be.
No. Our prayer dropped off.
Okay, well, not really. Watch and pray. We're told to watch and pray, and we get news of these things and we pray, but we also get burdened. Holy Spirit burdens folk with these real. Shall we go to prayer anyway?
Yep, let's go.
Thank the Lord, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the opportunity to come and seek your face. For Lord, there is none. No place better on earth or in heaven than in the presence of the Heavenly Father. You who pity your children, you who have given to us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, the one who died for us, shed his blood for us, had his body broken in our stead. And we bask in the glory of his work. And we thank you that we can come to him in repentance and thank him for dying on the cross for us and asking forgiveness for our sin and praying also, Lord, that as we pray that we might pray according to his will and his purpose and that we may take up his cross and follow him, that we may take up the idea that we have surrendered ourselves to him, that our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit are more important to us as far as our love for anything and anyone on this earth. And we proclaim that, and even though we do it weekly and in a weak manner and not as human beings, and not as spiritual beings who are perfect, but spiritual beings who have been washed and sprinkled by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come, Lord, asking that the sacrifice of our prayer and the words of our mouth and the belief and love in our heart for you might be manifested, Lord, might come out as we pray, Lord, for the situations that we've been talking about. We cry out to you, Lord, for the body of Christ in the Western world, especially, that has lost, in many cases, the true meaning of the power of the kingdom of God and the gospel. And the gospel is not a simple insurance policy without any kind of conditions, but it is it is eternal life that's been given to us through the simple faith that you give to us to fall down on our knees and cry out, Lord, I'm a sinner, and Lord, please help me and allow me to become your child. You've said that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, which were born not of the flesh, not of the spirit of man, but of God. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the way in which you have given to us this opportunity to come before you and to hear the call, and the fact that we have heard your call. It's a privilege, Lord. It's an honor and a blessing. But, Lord, we have a... both for ourselves and for the body of Christ, there is this idea that and doctrine, Lord, that tries to negate the power of God. It's like clouds without water, as Scripture says. There's no life, Lord, in a dead faith that has no works. And the works of God are the miracles of God, as the healing of the broken heart and all the other things that follow from that. You have given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and here we so often mouth the words of God and deny his power. And we're sorry, Lord. We ask forgiveness. We realize that we must repent. We realize, Lord, also that without repentance we cannot avoid or hold back the judgment of God as Christians. Without repentance and without unified love for one another, for the brethren, and for those who are preaching, and those who are even in preaching the diluted gospel that they preach, so we should be praying for them and loving them and crying out to you on their behalf and interceding for them. Even as Job was told to intercede for his brethren, and he was blessed, and they were saved. They avoided severe judgment. And so, Heavenly Father, we come before you, asking that we might be amongst those who cry out to you with a pure heart, a heart washed clean by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a mouth and a body that is surrendered to you, Lord, even for these moments that we pray, Lord, that we might give to you a full measure of our faith and our hearts, and that we may not pray with words, but with faith. Pray from our heart, a heart of love for you. And so, Lord, hear our prayer concerning the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And then the message of the brokenhearted. How many Christians there are whose hearts are broken and are therefore powerless and not able to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit because of the, as John says, like a broken wing or the brakes on all the time in their life and something holding them back. The enemy having some kind of hold on them which would... either bring fear or take away the ability to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, Lord, you've made this promise that you pour out your Spirit upon all flesh in all generations. And sons and daughters would prophesy, dream dreams, and have visions. And there would be the... testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. And so the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up by the Holy Spirit, as he promised that he would reveal the Holy Spirit and bring to remembrance all the things about Jesus that we need to remember during the times where we're ministering or where we're praying or where we're seeking to cry out to you for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you have given to us every opportunity to bring before your throne of grace these requests. And our main request tonight is at this time is to pray, Lord, that you might pour out your Holy Spirit upon the church that is spiritless, the church who has faith without works, which is dead. And, Lord, we know that a lukewarm church is going to be spewed out of your mouth. We pray, Lord, that the church and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ would be made alive, that the dead bones will come alive as it's going to happen with the in Ezekiel 20, 21 or whatever it is, in when you mention, Lord, that ask for the prophet to speak to those dead bones and they begin to come up and alive, Lord. That's what we're looking for with the power of your kingdom, the gospel being preached and people's hearts being healed, and then the obvious power of the Lord being manifest, being shown through just you can see it in their eyes, Lord. You can see it in their heart. You can see it in their testimony. You can see it in the healings and the deliverances and as if people were just drawn out of prison so miraculously. We thank you for the miracles that you perform day in and day out for those who believe and those whose hearts are healed and those who begin to carry on that ministry. I thank you for the pastors in Abba Father's Fellowship. I thank you for Pastor Jamil being able to speak to this minister, this Australian, with Paul. And we thank you for the ministry that he has now seen the need for that. We thank you, Lord, too, for Pastor Zephaniah and his contacts with so many going through the Bible school and other contacts that he has right throughout Africa, areas of Africa that he's involved in. And Lord, as part of that, we're asking for provision that the tracts could be printed, finances could be made available for the huge amount of those tracts to go out on the brokenhearted that would respond. For Lord, you've shown, Lord, in so many ways that revelation of the testimony of Jesus in healing broken hearts is so real. And so the Holy Spirit has taken hold of those words and has made it so that folk have been convicted of their sin. As you've said, that you would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It's exactly what happens when the true message of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. And that's all part of the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we're crying for that to happen in these areas of the Western world that is so tied up with materialism, Lord, and the things of this world. Turn our eyes upon Jesus, Lord. Help us to look full in his face and understand and know that he heals broken hearts and that your people who have faith in you do not have to carry broken hearts around with them, and that the power vested in them through the Holy Spirit would be released, and we would see tremendous revivals, Lord, all over the world, all over the countries where that power has been kind of held back. Then, Lord, in denying the power of the Holy Spirit, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We limit the Holy One of Israel. We quench the Spirit. And we're sorry, Lord, that that's happened. We ask forgiveness, Lord. And may we all know that there is no option to whether we're going to allow the Holy Spirit through his power to work or not work. Now, we have we have the ability to quench it, obviously. We have the ability to limit. We have the ability to deny. But, Lord, we want to honor the work of the Holy Spirit, for he is the one you've sent down here on earth. He's available in this generation. And we're asking that we be amongst those who honestly and with a full heart and without any kind of reservations understand and fully endorse and walk and in the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit and the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we wish to see, we cry out to see men and women, saved and unsaved, have the power of the Holy Spirit poured upon them, on all flesh, so that the manifestation of the ministry of Jesus would become very real in all our churches and in all our families and in all our situations, Heavenly Father. We pray for our children, our grandchildren also, not to miss out on this revelation of your Holy Spirit, because they are yet to see it in their generation, and they are yet to experience it, and it is to come. It will happen, Lord. May their eyes not be blinded to it. And now, Lord, we pray too for, and we believe, Lord, that this is what you will do. In calling out and crying out to you, we believe that this will occur. That in even in this nation, there's going to be a vast outpouring of your Holy Spirit. But Lord, allow it the freedom in the countries of the world where people worship idols and have these false religions. And it's more telling, Lord, in their areas because they their life is at stake in many cases when they believe and turn to the Lord Jesus. And you protect them and you guide them and you disciple them. Through these faithful pastors, we thank you, Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, we're looking for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, even as we cry out to you and pray, for we believe that it is on the horizon, on the borders of coming, waiting for the right time. So, Lord, we thank you. We're waiting for repentance of God's people, for the message of the scriptures to go through in truth. And in honesty. And so we thank you, Heavenly Father. And we pray, too, for this situation with North Korea, South Korea. We pray for those who are, especially South Korean Christians, who are praying. We are in one accord with them. And we're asking that your will be done. We're asking, Lord, that there may be a way in which, through all this, the lives would be spared and that the land of North Korea will be open to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a free and open manner so that Christians will not be persecuted or deemed to be under a death sentence the moment they become Christians or when they're found out. Continue to provide and protect every Christian in North Korea who loves you and cries out to you and joins with us. That their land may become free one day. Now we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for your blessings. We pray for the peace of Israel, Lord. We pray that you might be with Prime Minister Netanyahu and all the leaders of the Knesset, that they might turn their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ in a very real way and see that the only protection that they have is from him, and that you have brought them to this point in their lives. Even under the threat of annihilation, you have kept them. You have watched over them. We pray that there might not be any kind of diminution or giving away of land, but that they might be able to increase their land and find that which you have given to them. We know, Lord, that peace will not come until the Prince of Peace comes. And we know that there will be trials and battles and wars. Pray tomorrow for Yom Kippur so that the message of the Lord Jesus Christ will also be freely given out, even as the Jewish people, those who believe in the feasts and in their God, the God of Abraham, that they might be turned over to the faith of the God of Abraham, and that is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we we don't know how that can come about. We thank you for Pastor Dov and many other workers in Israel. We thank you for the ministry that helps women who would otherwise abort their children, but now bring them to full term, and those children are rescued, as it were. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all those with their generosity that help. We give praise to you for the people who have the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ to sacrifice for many of these projects and real life situations that help and restore and bring both charity and the love of God with them. Pray for the organizations that are helping in these disasters, Lord, both in Texas, in Florida, in the Caribbean Islands, in the U.S. Virgin Islands, in Puerto Rico, Lord. We cry out to you for the for your outpouring of your Holy Spirit in Puerto Rico. May this turn people to you, Lord. For, Lord, they've got no one else to turn to, and many are suffering terribly. Many are railing against God, but there are others who are crying out to him. And just as your word says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. And then they'll find that the message of the cross is to repent and to be baptized and to believe and to be filled and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, help the church organizations there to believe and trust in you and find help and protection and provision from you. If necessary, Lord, send manna from heaven to help them. Whatever is needed, you can do, Lord. But you have a way, you have people, you have angels, you have many ways in which you can send help for those who are crying out to you. But also, Lord, where our prayer is that there would be an opportunity for many to come into the kingdom of God, to have their hearts healed, for them to be saved, born again, and following the Lord Jesus Christ in this wonderful way that he's given to us, the way of repentance and belief in our hearts that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to come before you and pray. Now, there are the questions, Lord, that we have, many other. We pray that we might learn to watch and pray. We pray for the situation concerning pedophiles in this country and throughout the world, and the sex traffic place where people are made into slaves, where young girls are taken from their families in one nation and sent to another. Oh God, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us for the destruction of the youth and the young in our world. So easily do we just gloss over these things and ask Heavenly Father that you would rule and bring about your judgment upon those who would do these things. Mainly, Lord, we're asking for a manifestation and unraveling of it, for we know that those who would bring it to light and to bring it to the public awareness, they would be destroyed. The enemy is very strong against anyone who would reveal the reality and truth of this awful, awful, lustful, impure destruction of generations of children, Lord, even in this country. Heavenly Father, manifest it, reveal it, bring it about. Open it to the daylight, Lord. Let the darkness be revealed by the light and the precious light of the Lord Jesus Christ and the light that is to be Christians, who are to be the light of the world. Lord, use the Christians to manifest this evil and to bring it about and to show the horror of it and to destroy, to stop destroying, destroy this whole system and stop destroying the lives of the young. Heavenly Father, hear our prayer concerning this evil and bring about a manifestation of your Holy Spirit even in that realm. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the way in which you have kept us, healed us, and brought us closer to yourself. We have no better help in this world, no better hope, no better way in which we can seek your face than to kneel before you. Lord, this kneeling before, this angry kneeling before sports matches, Lord, break that down. Break that idol down, Lord. We know that sports so often is an idol in this world, in this country especially. We've made such a big thing out of. And then we see the unhappiness in the faces of all those who are kneeling, Lord. And we should only kneel to the Heavenly Father and no other person. We should not bow down to anger and bow down to malice or evil. Or Lord God, we also know that there is injustice in this world and in lives. There are folk who have turned and rebelled against the Lord Jesus Christ. And is it any wonder there is enmity between races and enmity between people in families? And in, so we ask forgiveness for that too, Lord, and ask that we may be able to unite under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ for when that occurs, Lord. And yet there's many who claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and still carry on a bitterness and an anger and a hatred toward all. So we're asking forgiveness for that, and that might change, Lord, that they would see the error of their ways. Half of them, Lord, most of them would have broken hearts that haven't been healed. Heavenly Father, that's the reason we're crying out to you for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit and a outpouring of a healing of broken hearts, the message to be received and heard by all so that they may come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and find the great power that he has given to each one of his servants. We continue to pray for that power to be amongst his servants, the body of Christ, Lord, as an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is needed so desperately. Lord, hear our prayer, we pray. And we thank you that we can continue with you in prayer and watch and pray and understand these things and bring them before your throne of grace. And you hear and answer. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Well, amen, Pastor Fred. Amen. Thank you for the wonderful prayer. I mean, you nailed everything.
Somebody left something out, but we're
no. As far as I could tell, you. The police. I'll pick up on that later.
Yeah,
I'll pick up on that later. That. Yeah. So, well, you get a 95. How's that?
Well, it's the Lord's doing, and we thank him for it.
Okay, pass that your meal's in here. So let me bring him on so we can all say hello. Hello, Pastor Jamil.
Hello, my brother. Shalom. Good morning.
Good evening. This is good night here. It's good night here where I am. So, yeah, we're all excited. I shared with everyone what you told me about Pastor Paul and how his heart was healed and how he's really blessed by the Healing the Brokenhearted ministry. So if you could just share a little with us, and Pastor Fred's really interested because he's from Australia also.
Yeah, good day, mate.
Yeah. go ahead, Pastor Jamil.
Yeah, Pastor Paul is from Australia. My one friend, Pastor Yasser, he invited him to come here for the preaching and for the fellowship. So suddenly, I don't know, but if you were inviting him, my brother Yasser, that please come to translate for him. So before fellowship, go to preaching, he was sharing with me that what happened with him in 6 years ago, that he lost her daughter in a road accident. So he shared with me that me and my wife, we have very our heart is broken, and we are so sad that our younger daughter is not with us. So God gave me the opportunity to preach with him in the front of my friends about the broken heart. So I said, Pastor Paul, I have one very sophisticated and life-changing teachings for you. So would you like to listen and would you like to read? He said, sure. Then I give a request to Brother John, please send it to me as soon as possible. Broken Heart teaching in English. So he sent me on Skype. So I was sharing with him. So during travel, he was a little bit crying when I shared with him. And he was reading from my mobile, the Broken Heart. So he said, share on my mobile. So I shared with him. So he was crying a little bit and thanking to God for this wonderful teachings, because he have never heard about this kind of teachings, because even he said, he confessed that many times I have read and study these teachings, but not emphasize on that kind of the things. But right now, he loves so much. So that's why I'm sure with him. So he said, I'm really blessed through these teachings and I love it. And hopefully I will be sure with my wife. So he will be, by the grace of God, also heal his heart. That's why even I have shared with, sent it to Brother John, his video. So Pastor John, did you get my video?
Yeah, I got the email. I haven't opened it up yet, though.
Also, I have sent you the pictures. In this crusade, I have shared the distributor with the Broken Heart brochures. You know, even he is describe about the Broken Heart during crusade. You can see in the pictures.
Oh, so all right. So when he was preaching, he talked about healing the brokenhearted.
Yes, you can watch in the pictures.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't open anything yet.
Yeah. But also in the crusade, many people healed, mostly Gentiles. They came to the Lord and healed the brokenhearted, because before he starting preaching, I requested him with Pastor Paul, please share how you bless through the Broken Heart teaching. So share with all the people who are sitting in front of you. So then you can start preaching. So he preaching and he share with them an experience that Pastor Jamil shared with me in the Broken Heart. Even I was, even he told to the everybody that all you know that I lost my daughter 6 years ago. That's why this teaching is working very, very good in my heart, and life changed, and it changed my mind, everything, because he was hopeless. So with these teachings, now he is in a hope with the Christ that in the end of the days, when his judgment days come, so that we will receive directly to his daughter in our heaven. So he was very happy with this teaching.
Wow. There you go, Pastor Fred. One of your compadres there from Australia is in Pakistan having his heart healed.
Amen. Thank you, Jamil, for being so faithful and listening to the Holy Spirit and sharing that with him. Too many people had blinded to this ministry, and the Lord has privileged you and others to be able to preach and see the power of the Holy Spirit working in people's lives, healings and deliverances and released from bondages. It's so wonderful to be part of that, isn't it?
Well, Pastor Fred, just put this in perspective now. And think of when you were in Bible college back, when was it, the late 60s that you were in Bible college?
Yeah, 69 till 72.
Okay. Yeah. And I know that you had a burden on your heart for the Muslims, and you spent quite a bit of time praying. But if someone like prophesied to you and said that, well, there's coming a day when through a ministry you're in, an Australian pastor is going to go to Pakistan to preach, and that the minister there in Pakistan is going to preach to him about healing his broken heart, because his broken heart was terribly broken. And then instantly a brochure was sent from the United States to Pakistan in English so he could read it. And he read it, and he was prayed over, and his heart was healed. And then he went to preach, and he preached to the you know, to the masses there, and he shared about healing the broken heart, and many of their hearts were healed. And, I mean, you couldn't relate to it. You just could not relate to it. And I still am in awe of what God is doing in these last days, Pastor Fred. I'm in awe of it.
Amen.
Just think of it. Jamil contacted me and asked me to send a copy. He didn't have it on his phone. He asked me to send a copy of the Broken Hearted brochure in English. I instantly sent it to him. He got it right away. You know, there was probably a 10-second delay. He got it, and then he showed it to the Australian pastor. I mean,
that's a miracle. Just that alone is a miracle.
It's a miracle.
But you know what? In 69, I was boldly saying that God was preparing the third world, preachers from other countries other than the Western world, to take over and to teach us more about the Lord Jesus. I was saying that, and people thought I was crazy. But that's exactly what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we're praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it's happening in Pakistan and India and all over Africa. Huge.
Yeah.
So that's so exciting.
They're privileged in seeing it happen in great numbers. And that's the...
I don't know what that noise was. Oh, Jamil is sending me. Jamil is Skyping me. That's what that noise is you hear.
But isn't,
that sounds isn't like there, a boing.
Isn't that a miracle of the Lord to have?
Yes.
It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. And we're privileged to be able to have these pastors in these different places in Pakistan, Africa. And it's a real pleasure to be part of their lives and to be praying for them and hearing their stories, their testimonies, and seeing the folk being changed and delivered and healed and hearts being... Can you imagine the numbers of broken hearts since Jamil and John got together? How many Pakistani broken hearts have been healed? Isn't that something, Jamil?
Pastor Jamil.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Fred was just talking about... since we've been working together about healing the brokenhearted, how many hearts were healed throughout Pakistan, you know, with the believers themselves and then the winning the souls to the Lord. I'm sure, well, I know it's way into the thousands and thousands and thousands.
Approximately, brother, Pastor Fred, I want to let you know, approximately, near in the front of me, and approximately 200,000 people came to the Lord by the grace of God.
Isn't the Lord good? Look at that. He's it's so wonderful.
Because,
it's so wonderful. It's an amazing and it's a miracle.
Yes, because many times, three times we have been in St. Mary Festival, and many times in crusades, people came to the Lord. Even I have billions distributed literatures, the brokenhearted in a 666, even the Jesus Set You Free. And the front of me, approximately 200,000 people came to the Lord. Approximately.
Praise God. Yeah.
That's the first time I heard that, but I had no idea. I, you know, it's so many. They read the brochure, and right then and there, they confess the Lord is their Savior, right there. You know, so
yeah, and then the preaching of the gospel settles it, nails it in, and it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful.
Brother John, many times because you have to preach in many, many big crusades in a conference, you know, approximately front of during your preachings, I think so 30,000 people mix approximately came to the Lord through your preaching.
Wow.
And I mean, and other people, yes. And when 70,000 people came through the Broken Heart, the literature ministries.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And, if you look back and you say, if the Lord had never taught us this ministry, if we had never understood this, we would still be struggling in so many different ways. But look, now we're struggling in a different way, trying to keep trying to disciple and keep all these people fed with the and the new ones fed with the brochures. And I'm sure you've had your hands full, Pastor Jumil.
Yes, brother. Actually, months ago, I've shared with Pastor John that here all the pastor councils, they are willing that in a stadium, they are willing that we do arrange crusades. And approximately 4 or 5 million people will be came over there, and they can hear the broken heart message, and they can get the broken heart brochure over there. So they are willing to do that, but we are still praying that Lord open the door so that we can do that in a cricket stadium with the Pastor John. He can preach on and over there. So keep in mind that and keep in praying, brother, that Lord provide the finance and resource to we can do the over there. And Pastor John is a really, really big opportunity for us. And I hope that, and I believe so, that through this wonderful, big stadium conference, that people, billions of people will be come to the Lord, and they will be accept to Christ. Mostly the Gentiles and Hindus, they will become to the Lord. That's why, because with this limited resources, with a small fund, with Pastor John and everybody, you are helping to me in Pakistan. We're trying to win many, many souls. But it's very, it's dependent on time that what we are doing, with the limited resources.
Yes, yes. We've got to get on our knees and keep praying, and the Lord will provide. That is for sure, because it's a wonderful, wonderful plan that God has given you and the pastors. And if they all join together in prayer, we'll see him do it. It's another miracle that we're looking for.
Pastor Fred, yes. I have I'm looking here in the Uber chat room, and we have Georgianne here, and I'm going to bring her on to pray over her. She has had pneumonia now. She's had breathing problems for, I guess, several months now, and she was in the hospital with the pneumonia. And it's she's still kind of sick, and so I thought we would pray over
very
her.
Sick.
Yeah, Pastor Fred,
would very
you?
Very sick.
Yeah, would you
can
pray?
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm very sick, and I tried to get a hold of the doctor. I called him and emailed him because I'm out of antibiotics. But I'm very, very sick. I tried to do your blog, John. I'm just way too sick to do anything. All I do is sleep.
Okay, Georgia. All right, that's all right. Pastor Fred, would you pray over her, please?
Yes, Lord, we're privileged, Lord, to be able to pray for Georgianne. You know her situation. You know just how sick she is, but you also know how this is a test, of her faith and her trust in you, Lord. When we get sick and weak, the enemy would have us turn our eyes upon every other thing. We're asking that you might comfort her and also remove the virus and the infection from her chest, so that she may be able to breathe properly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the healer, Lord. You are the one that we come to. There's no other one. We know that the doctors can give us medicines, but you're the one who heals. And so, Lord, she's not got the antibiotics. Help her to find the way to get it. But also, Lord, we're praying for a touch upon her so that she might be able to have a good night's rest, that if she rests, we heal when we rest. We pray that each of her sacs in her chest, in her lungs, would begin to respond to the fresh air and the good air, and that the red blood corpuscles would drain away all that infection, and that the antibiotics that she has had will begin to work within her system. We thank you for her. We ask, Lord, for you to bless her and to watch over her, and for her to have your peace and your angels to surround her even as she rests tonight. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, and look up to you and confess that Jesus Christ is our healer. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And somebody ran down my favorite cat. Even the neighbors came over to help bury him after he beat up their pit bull. He was one tough guy, but he's dead now, and that really stressed me.
Yeah, I saw that. I can believe it. I saw that pit bull from Pastor Fred, and it would take quite a cat to beat that pit bull. But
it did. He ripped the crap out of that dog.
All right.
Tore his face up.
Okay, we'll talk to you again now.
But somebody
Georgia.
Ran him over. So I'm upset about that.
All right, we'll talk to you again. Now, Pastor Pastor Fred, yeah. I'm a man of, I can tell you now, I'm going to test my faith, all right? I was going to say I'm a man of great faith. But I have here, I recognize the phone number. Brother Joe, is this Brother Joe?
John?
Yeah.
This is Vince.
Oh, Vince. I have a friend that has the same number as you. Oh, well, I stepped out in faith and you appeared. He has 215-2.
Take you far, John.
200. Those first numbers are exactly like yours. But anyways, thank you. And I want you to say hello to Pastor Fred. Pastor Fred, you haven't met Brother Vince, have you?
Hi, Vince. How you doing?
Blessings.
Thank
Pastor
you.
Pastor Phil, I caught a little bit of your teaching here and your prayer. Man, I'd love to meet you sometime. I really would.
We will, definitely. We will if the Lord Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
be nice to see you this side of the dirt anyway. So.
Well, Pastor Fred, I don't know if I've talked to you about him, but we met in kind of a weird way. But he's a good brother in the Lord, and we just agree on everything in scriptures. And I got a note to I made a note to myself to contact you about prayer. So I'll email you tomorrow. Okay, and we'll figure a time for prayer.
Oh, you already did. I figured you'd call me tomorrow. Yeah, I'll call you in the morning.
Oh, hold sure. on. I got you confused. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me check my calendar here. Are we on for what time are we on for?
Not an exact time. You just told me to give you a call in the morning.
Okay.
Be around.
All right. Well, 10 a.m. will be real good.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. And, Pastor Fred, I'm glad you got to meet Brother Vince, because I think he's a tremendous man that of the Lord. And he had a little rough go, and I really feel the Lord's bringing him back now, and he's going to be doing great things for the Lord. In fact, would you pray over him, please, Pastor Fred?
Sure.
He has a call on him of like an apologist. Not like he does. He has a call on him as an apologist.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Vince. We thank you for his life. We thank you for the tests you've given him. We thank you for the way in which you have led him and guided him. And now you've given him an extra turn into your kingdom to become more powerful and more apologetic, as it were, as an apologist. You're going to move ahead with him and allow him to convince many of the wonderful, wonderful message of the Lord Jesus and the testimony of Jesus. We thank you for the testimony of Jesus within his life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have actually, according to Psalm 103, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And we thank you for the reverential awe and trust that our brother Vince has for you, and for the renewed effort to see minds turned over to you, and allow people to be convinced of the wonders and the majesty of our Creator God. We thank you for that, Lord. We need people like that to convince many of the because of the lies that are out there, and because the father of lies who has tried to stop this truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you've set up another standard here through Vince. And we thank you for that. And we ask for your blessing, Lord, to continue and to bring every blessing into his life that would allow him to take up the cross and follow Jesus and to love you more than he loves anything and anyone else, and to know that that which he has given to you is a surrender of his heart and his life, and that it's real and that he sees the fruit of it. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. John, you know, I was listening before you guys started praying. I got on here a little while ago. And one of the things you were saying or asking is, you know, why are our churches not moving in the power anymore? Why are these things happening in other lands? And I think I might have some answers for you on that, just based on my study of Scripture and some observations. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to take up anybody else's time.
Right, like, right. You know, we're tied in. We could talk about that tomorrow.
All right.
We're tied up. Pastor Fred has to leave soon. And,
no problem.
So we want to really focus on prayer now in the remaining time. Yeah. Okay?
We'll do that.
Okay. I'll talk to you tomorrow about that.
Okay.
Pastor Fred, we did talk about communion today, but time has gone so fast. I mean, I don't know how it went. It was the same last night. We had, you know, Wednesday night's the music night, and we ended up having almost 2 hours of music, and it was stunningly fast. And now tonight, the same way. So I don't think we have enough time for communion.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
All right.
If we're prepared for it.
I'm prepared.
All right. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night as in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, it's I believe that the Lord was trying to get us to remember him and the work that he had accomplished. And so that's what we do. That's exactly what we do. And we'll pray, Heavenly Father, we take the bread in our hands and we realize that you did the same. And then you broke it and you gave thanks to the Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. We thank you for the bread that we have. Day by day in our lives, it sustains us and keeps us. And so it's a true picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do in our life. You say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And that's the bread that we get from you, Heavenly Father, through your Son. And help us to live in the light of that. For if we live in the light of that, it'll keep us from sin. It won't allow us to even look at temptation, but just to stay away from the door and not fall into temptation. We thank you that you keep us because you've given to us the bread of life. But the bread that Jesus Christ gave to us was his broken body. It is the aspect that we ourselves cannot go through in order to gain salvation. He was the only one who could ever do it, and he did it. And he wants us to remember him. And we let our hearts and our minds go right now to thank him and remember him. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you for that bread. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to us to remember him with this broken bread. And so let's eat together and enjoy. Amen, amen. And it's in the spiritual enjoyment that we have. Something happens when you remember Jesus for what he's done. Something happens in our life, I am convinced. Then in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, we have, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And then he says something that I'm wondering if this is so, John. "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come." And then he says, In Matthew, he says, I won't drink with you again until I drink it with you till the kingdom comes. Is that the marriage supper of the Lamb, John?
That's what I've come to believe.
Well, I'm going to ask you to pray for the cup.
Okay. Father, we thank you for the cup, which represents the shed blood of your Son on the cross, which also means, Lord, you've made an everlasting blood covenant with us. We thank you for that. We thank you for that shed blood and the blood covenant. We stand in that. That's our victory over Satan. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto death. We are overcomers because of that shed blood and the blood of the everlasting, which comes from it, the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is our protection from Satan, and this is our victory. Everything we need in this life is under the blood of the everlasting covenant. So we thank you what you did at Calvary. We thank you that, that shed blood paid the price for our sin, so that we can have forgiveness of sin and eternal life with you. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's join together now and take the cup as Jesus would have us, and with a united heart and with forgiveness. All forgiveness is forgiven. Unforgiveness is forgiven. Any bitterness, anything you're holding against others, don't you dare drink that cup if you are holding sin in your life. But drink the cup after having asked the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse you. And we thank him for what he's done, and now we join together with him to show forth his death until he comes. Let's drink together. What a privilege one day to join together with every nation on earth who has members of the body of Christ, allowing us all to drink together and be unanimous in this wonderful way of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, and how we have been privileged to show forth his death and his resurrection in this world through the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Thank you, John. Thank you so much for the blessing. Let's pray for the police brochure that you sent.
Okay.
Before we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you remind us things all the time to pray for. And we believe that our police definitely need prayer cover. We thank you for them. I have a son who's a policeman, and we pray for him, but we ask for your protection, Lord, for our police. Give them wisdom, understanding. We know that many of them are not saved men or women, but we're asking for your protection in this country so that we might be able to fulfill the promise that those who follow law and order follow the law and order, the order that the God has given to us as a nation. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins, but allow us, Lord, to pray for those who protect us and who keep the law. May we have respect for the law, but may we also have respect for the Word of God more than we have respect for any other law. But we thank you, Lord, that we can bring them before you and ask for protection. Give them wisdom. Give them instant thinking, as they must have in many situations. And may there not be a great deal of senseless hurt that occurs as a result of these altercations between law officers and citizens as they need to come, as they need to fulfill the law, Lord. For our citizens quite often are rebellious and sinful and full of drugs, and sometimes in ways which they come like wild animals, and we're asking forgiveness for that too, so that they may come to a knowledge of Jesus, and that your Spirit, pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, all over the police, we pray. May there be many more who respond to these tracts and these brochures that John has prepared for them. And we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the long ministry that John's had in Cops for Christ and in many other ways in which he has helped. We pray for the prisons and the prisoners and the wardens. And we thank you for those who visit. And we ask for many more to go and visit and bring them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to these folk in prison. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you. Amen. Amen.
Amen, Pastor Fred. Amen. I really do think that that brochure has the potential to win many police to the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, and it just needs to get out there and have the opportunity. And so we remind those who are praying with us to have one in the car or get some so that they can hand it out to policemen who are on security or some opportune place or to do that. As long as they don't think it's a gun you're pulling out of your vest or something like that. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. But it's not.
I know you are.
Really.
Well, it's the sword. You're pulling the sword out. So.
That's true. And you're trying to give the sword of the Spirit to them. Right.
Okay.
Well, thank you, and the Lord bless.
All right. Bye now. We'll see you tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow,
oh,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, all right. God bless you.
Now. Bye-bye.
All right, we really covered... Whoops, I forgot about that. There we go. We covered a lot of ground today with... just the time went so fast. Last night it was shocking how fast it was. And then right now, Pastor Fred, the same thing. It was... I don't know if God's accelerating time or what, or it's just in my head, but wow, is time going fast. Yeah, Pastor Jamil.
Yes, my brother, I'm here.
Yeah, would you pray over us, please?
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we came to you before, and for this wonderful morning, we are so thankful for this great opportunity that we are together here tonight, and we are listeners, and we're praying each other, and we're listening to your word of God through the Pastor Fred. And Lord Jesus Christ, we are so thankful for this wonderful Abba Father Fellowship Network that you provide us for to the we can connect it in a fellowship, Lord Jesus, and we can remember you all the time. And especially we can remember your promises, your blessings in our lives. So, Father God, I request you especially for the brochure printing, Lord Jesus, provide the finance. And Lord Jesus, especially... We get a great, great testimony from Pastor Paul Disha from Australia, Lord Jesus. I really rejoice in the Lord Jesus, that the broken heart teaching is working in Pakistan and tremendously that a huge amount of people that coming to you, Lord Jesus. And I request you and that when his wife, Pastor Paul's wife, then study the broken heart literature so that Lord Jesus, she can heal her heart. And she can get the peace over him. And Lord Jesus, I request you, Lord Jesus, that bless to all the saints all over the world who is especially working for Abba Father Fellowship Networking, especially for Brother John, Pastor Fred, and Pastor Dov in Israel, Lord Jesus. And we request you, Lord Jesus, that a huge amount of the Jews people come to you, Lord Jesus, because this is the end of the days, and your judgment days is very near, and your kingdom is very near, Lord Jesus. So we especially request you that giving your revelations to the Jewish people that he accept you as the Son of God. So Lord Jesus, because you are the only our Savior, and the salvation only is through you, not from another idol, Lord Jesus, and another God. It's the only Christ. So I request you, Lord Jesus, we want a great, great revival to the broken heart brochures, to the prayers, to the fellowship, to the good news, Lord Jesus, all over in India, in Pakistan, in Africa, in the United States, in Brazil, Lord Jesus, even in Europe, Lord Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, help us to we can reach to every souls who are lost, Lord Jesus, especially for the Gentiles, Lord Jesus, they can better than know that, Lord Jesus, that you are really, really Son of God. And Lord Jesus, because those people and Gentiles, they ignore your prophecies. They ignore the predictions. So, Lord Jesus, I request you, giving them the great revelations so they can accept your prophecies, your predictions, that is the true and according to Bible. Your kingdom is very near, so they can accept to you, Lord Jesus, because they can save from all the great tribulations. They can save from all the big destroyed, and because they can save from the hell. So, Lord Jesus, that's our passion, especially for the Abba Father Fellowship Network. And so, because we have passion that every soul in all, entire Africa, entire India, entire Pakistan, all over in Brazil, they can save in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and they can become a member of your kingdom, Lord Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for all this great fellowship. Provide us to finance more billions broken-hearted printer, and people get the knowledge, and they can come to Lord Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jamil. And we still have about 20 minutes left for prayer. And we'll pray to the end here. So I'm going to have to put you on mute because there's background noise, Pastor Jamil.
Yeah, my daughter is making a noise.
Okay. So I'll put you on mute here.
Did you get the picture? I have sent it in the Skype that Pastor Paul is describing about the broken heart.
I didn't open it during the show. You know, all right. Let me tell you, while I'm talking to you, let me go to Skype. I heard it come in. Oh, yeah. I see the pictures. Yeah, they came through. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, did I ever preach at this place?
Not yet.
It looks very familiar, like a place that I preached at.
No, you have never been there.
Okay, yeah, the pictures are really nice. I'll have to get them out. So, all right, we will thank you for sharing all that, and it's just so exciting to see what the Lord's doing. It's just Pakistan, and we hear tremendous things from Pastor Zephaniah. Did you see the picture of the little baby McTernan in Kenya?
Yeah, you have been shared with me on Skype. I have received.
Oh, yeah, we talked. I remember talking to you. I remember talking to you about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's so cute. All right. Well, let's have prayer. Father, we have so much to be thankful for, Lord, so much. And Lord, what you're doing in Pakistan alone is just something that we could so much we could thank you for. So we do, Lord, we do thank you for everything that you've done, Pakistan, Lord, in all throughout Africa now, Lord, and in India. It's exciting what we see, and Lord, Nigeria now. What's going on in Nigeria? So we have to thank you. We thank you for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all these souls. There's like fire now in the belly of the believers, Lord, once their hearts are healed. And we're praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's exactly what real Christianity is. Salvation through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, free from the condemnation of sin. Then moving with hearts healed, freed of rejection, healed of shame, healed of loneliness, all busted up hearts from that, free from fear and unbelief that lodges in our hearts. And then, Lord, fresh anointings of the Holy Spirit. This is real Christianity. When this works, Lord, when we're moving in your real ministry, there's no need for Prozac and these drugs, Lord. There's no need for alcohol. There's no need for anything. We're free in you. If the Son, therefore, has set you free, you're free indeed. This is how we live in the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is living in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Healed hearts, healed minds, and the power of the Holy Spirit flowing, Lord, as we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're asking for, Lord, that this would be so overwhelming in believers' hearts, Lord, that when preachers preach, that the wherever it is, Lord, wherever it is, massive amounts of people will come, Lord, massive. They will feel the healed hearts. They will feel the power of the Holy Spirit, and will break through those religious spirits and right into their minds and right into their hearts, and they'll want to receive your Son as their Savior. It says in your word that he translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that the kingdom of his dear Son is the living under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, being made free from the law of sin and death. And that's what we want for everyone in this ministry, Lord. I'm praying along with Pastor Fred prayed, and Lord, that we're all of our hearts are healed. Root out those hidden things, Lord, that are in there that just bind us up, Lord. Root them out. Mortify them. Put them to death. And fill us, Lord, full of your love and your peace and your joy and your power, so that we'll move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fresh anointings of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us, Lord. Moving in a healed heart, free of bondage. It says in your word that you opened up the prisons and set the oppressed free. And that's what we want, Lord, all of us, to open up the prison and set us free. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all of this. We thank you, Lord, for I don't know, hundreds of thousands, if not into the millions, of that brochure went out, Lord. And even now it's circulating in India, Lord, and Pakistan and all throughout Africa. And Lord, people read it, and right there in the spot, they give their life to you. So we're asking that souls are getting saved every day, Lord. We have no idea of knowing it, but as that brokenhearted brochure goes out, we're asking for souls to be saved all over the world, Lord, all over the world, that souls will come to you. And not only will they come to you, Lord, but at the same time they come to you, their hearts will be healed. This is so exciting, Lord. It is so... Oh, and I'm asking, Lord, for a tremendous anointing on all of the preachers from Abba Father's International Fellowship, Lord. I'm asking for new levels, Lord, of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So when they preach, Lord, out in the open or in churches or, I don't know, just one-on-one on the streets, Lord, that the anointing is going to be so powerful that it's going to bust right through these religious spirits, and many, many, many are going to come to you, Lord, many. Send a great anointing on the pastors, Lord, and that anointing on them would trickle down to everybody in the church, Lord. That's what we're asking for. The great anointing upon the pastors, and then the that anointing to flow down to everyone under them, and that there'll be a great increase in spiritual power, Lord, as people move with hearts healed in the power of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this, Lord. Lord, we do pray, as Pastor Chabil mentioned, for Israel. We pray for a latter-day outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, the Holy Spirit was first given in Jerusalem, And I'm asking, Lord, and so the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place in Jerusalem. But Lord, the Jews are back. You have a body of believers in Jerusalem, Lord, again, and scattered all throughout Israel. So we're asking for an end time outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it would be so wonderful to have the first outpouring in Jerusalem, and then at the very end, a tremendous, before we go to be with you in the rapture, another tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, and it will be the last harvest of the children of Israel until at the rapture, Lord. That would be so fitting to have that happen. But in any event, Lord, we're asking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit right now on your believers in Israel. And Lord, along with that, we're praying for the protection of Israel, that those borders are divine, Lord, from you. Actually, those borders are not on the full land. The full land is much bigger than Israel has now. But that land they have now belongs, that's yours, Lord. They're like renting it, so to speak. So I'm asking for the protection of Israel there, where Hezbollah wants to destroy them on the north, Hamas on the south, Lord. On the north, you have Syria that would want to destroy Israel. You have ISIS that would want to destroy Israel, Al-Qaeda that wants to destroy Israel. You have Iran with these Ayatollahs that want to destroy Israel. And then, Lord, it wouldn't take much, I don't think, for Jordan to turn, and maybe other nations. But they want to destroy your people, Israel, Lord. They're building missiles and rockets and they're looking for nuclear weapons, and they're arming, Iran's arming terrorist groups, all to destroy your people, Israel. They can't do it, Lord. We stand on the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob so many years ago, Lord. It's probably about 4,000 years ago now. Lord, let's read that covenant. And we claim your word cannot be broken, Lord. It cannot be broken. Here we go from Genesis chapter 17, starting at verse 6. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and the kings shall come out from thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. There it is, Lord. The Jews are back because of this. Well, not only the covenant is mentioned many places, but because of right here, this covenant, they're back, Lord. The everlasting covenant, they're back according to your word. So, Lord, we stand on that covenant, and we ask you to deal with anyone that would try to usurp that, to break that, and to take Jerusalem, Lord, and make it the capital of a caliphate. Deal with this according to your word, Lord. And then we look at Zechariah, and the burden of the word of the Lord in Zechariah 12:1. For the Lord, for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, for all people that burden themselves with it, and with it it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again, even her own place, even in Jerusalem. Lord, we stand on these words that any armies that come and they try and take Jerusalem, which is a burdensome stone, it says in your word that they shall be cut in pieces. So the thing is, Lord, when they come against Jerusalem, and then it says in your word, in that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. Lord, that's military. And we're asking that you give Israel everything that's needed to defend itself, Lord, against those that would attempt to break that covenant. That's what we stand on, Lord. We stand on that. And we are standing with you in your prophetic word. And we thank you that we can do that. We believe every word I just read is literal. None of it is figurative, Lord. Christ's first coming was not figurative. Everything was literal to the last jot and tittle of his first coming, and it's the same about his second coming. This will be the scenario that I just read immediately prior to the second coming of your son, because it says, in that day, that's the day of the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you we can stand on your word. We thank you that you've taught us your word. You've showed us your word. It's all laid out in prophecy, Lord. It's all there. Chapters, Lord, chapters in the Bible are prophecy about Israel and Jerusalem. We thank you for that. We are not in darkness. We know how it's going to end. We just don't know the road to get the full roadmap to get there, Lord. As time goes on, more of it's unraveled. So we know what the end is, and we're just living day by day as that road is unraveled. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Well, again, I looked up, and we are almost out of time. It is. I don't know what to say. I don't know what, if it's something going on in me. I guess it is, because time is constant. So it's something going on with me, how it just, time goes so fast. So what I want to do is, we are out of time. Let me close in the Aaronic blessing sung by the Liberated Wailing Wall, which is, of course, Jews for Jesus. And then we'll read the scriptures and we'll call it a night. God bless everybody. Thank you for coming. And we'll see you Sunday night.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha v'yikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasein lecha.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee shalom. Shalom, everyone. And see you, Lord willing, Sunday night.